Lake Effect returns now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. The 2014 Milwaukee Film Festival is underway at cinemas from Fox Point to Washington Heights. One of the mainstays of the festival is the spotlight on local films. The Cream City Cinema showcases everything from shorts to documentaries to full-length feature films. One of the latter being screened this year is Serial Daters Anonymous, a movie completely filmed in Milwaukee, and most of the cast is also from here as well. The movie turns gender roles on their heads when Claire, after being jilted at her wedding, goes on a dating spree and chronicles her exploits in a very revealing and very public blog. As she goes on her dating rampage, it's unclear who's really being victimized. Chris Emmons wrote and directed Serial Daters Anonymous, and Sam Cozell is the film's executive producer. Emmons told Lake Effect's Dan Harmon how the film came to be.
It was something that I actually started writing when I was disenfranchised with my day job. No, I started writing it in about 2011 when I was not thrilled with my current situation working retail. I think a little bit of that made it into the script, but it turned into something quite a bit different.
Where did the idea itself come from? It seems to be a very female-centric idea.
Yeah, I think it's actually something that men and women do after getting kind of burned in a relationship. I think that, you know, a lot of people have the tendency to sort of lash out and, you know, take out their feelings in other people before they can get themselves straight again, unfortunately. And I just really felt that if it was a male, it would be the most boring movie in the world. But there's a lot of female roles that I think just haven't been made because there's a lot of, you know, women are still fighting having to play either, you know, mothers or the wife or the love interest or the damsel. Whereas like every male archetype in the history of archetypes has been played on the screen. So I was like, yeah, this is going to be interesting if it's a woman kind of, you know, taking out her frustrations with relationships on innocent guys.
Well, it was certainly fun to watch a woman turn the tables from what we're normally, well, I guess what we're used to seeing in films.
Good. I'm glad. Mm-hmm.
And Sam, where do you come in on the whole writing process and the whole movie, frankly?
Well, I read the script for the most part. That's where I come in. And I like working with Chris because of those reasons, because he does write very strong female characters. And that's something that always interests me because, oddly enough, it's kind of a thing that's not being done enough. And so I'm always trying to err on the side of originality and still breaking new boundaries sort of thing. And it's surprising that this day and age that that's still a thing for women, and especially in cinema.
Yeah, Joss Whedon was once asked, why do you write such strong characters? And his response was, because you're still asking that question.
Maybe give us just an idea of your film background before this. I mean, is this this clearly would not be the first. If it is your first effort, then it's quite impressive.
It's not the first rodeo. I think Sam and I have both done a considerable amount of things we'll admit to and won't admit to. The first thing I admit to was a loss of innocence comedy about a shampoo salesman in 2010. That I shot in Chicago called Shine Baby Shine. That one was pretty much no budget. I used my school's rental equipment and everything. And that was the first feature I admit to. And then I got out of college and I met Sam. And I think I called him like the day after I met him. And I literally embarrassingly told him, Sam, I like your brain. I would like to work with you. And then we just started drumming up ideas. And I know I complained to him about my day job every 5 seconds, and then I just started trying to escape by writing my way out of a corner and just making a lot of material. And this one seemed like it would be a good one for us to work on, you know, to kind of get ourselves further out there.
Do you still have that day job?
Negative.
Good. Glad to hear it. Sam, what about your history, I guess, in a nutshell?
I originally started out in video game design. I started a video game company when I was 17, and I ran that for 3 years. But then I got kind of sick of sitting on a computer all day, and I wanted to kind of get back to my first love, which was movies. And so I started doing that. Also, when I was 17, I worked at a movie studio here in Milwaukee called Lightning Rod, and they were doing low-budget horror films that would appear on, like, Netflix and Blockbuster. So that was, like, my first introduction into it. But then meeting Chris was a bizarre experience because it's one of those things where it's we feel like we've known each other for a longer period of time. I think we've only known each other for, like, almost 2 years or something. But
I want to say it's like three or four now. Maybe I'm wrong.
I feel like you're wrong because I feel like it's been much shorter. But
it feels longer.
It always, yeah. And so it's just surprising when you meet someone and you just kind of click. And it's been, we've been just doing great stuff ever since.
But yeah, before Serial Daters, we did a short film called Prone. And we used a lot of local actors. Mark Metcalf from before he moved away was in it. But that's it was sort of a proof of concept in a way, but it's a completely different film than Serial Daters. But we use a lot of the same crew and some of the same actors and things like that.
Same characters, too.
Is every actor in this film a Milwaukee actor? Is the crew also all from Milwaukee?
It's almost entirely. We have we got a couple actors from Chicago that came in, but it's mostly local. And then one of our LA actors is originally from Wisconsin, Sam Page. I think he went to Whitefish Bay High. So it was, I mean, he stayed with his parents when he was out here. And I think he drove his mom's car to set. And then...
So he made sacrifices.
Big sacrifices. And and then our lead actress is actually from Scotland, Louise Linton. You know, hopefully, you know, the accent sounded like it was not, but,
I'm hearing this for the first time and I didn't even occur to me that she was from Scotland.
Fantastic news. Yeah. She's a great actress. I originally found her on this list online of upcoming actresses when I was trying to figure out who to cast. And, I saw that she was represented by the same people that repped Jack Nicholson. And I was like, What is this lady's deal, you know? What's going on? So I reached out to her manager, and he initially told her to pass because we weren't financed yet. And then she loved the script so much that she emailed me, and she was like, what's holding this film back? I'd love to do it. And so then I ended up flying out to L.A. and meeting her at a Cheesecake Factory.
Nice.
And you know, we kind of talked there, and she was really instrumental in actually helping us get everything else off the ground. So I think it's safe to say that we probably couldn't have done it without her.
Okay, so I say this not to self-aggrandize, but I've dabbled in short film. I know how much effort is required just to make something that's 6 minutes. So where did you get it in your minds to make that leap from a short film to a feature-length film, which is a huge undertaking?
I think you just have to, just in terms of getting somewhere, is that you can't just make short films your whole life. At least if you want to be in the real film industry, you got to keep moving up.
Yeah, I think it harkens back to the day job that we're discussing here. You can have a day job and shoot a short film on a weekend, and that can be your life. Or, you know, if you have a hunger for things greater, you know, your short film might be a proof concept, or it might be something that shows, hey, I can do this. You can invest in me and it'll be at least this good, probably more, because we'll probably have more money on a feature. So, you know, I think we tried to make some short material that would stand on its own, but also that would show what we are capable of doing at a low cost to give people the idea of what we could do at a high cost. But yeah, I think it's just one of those things where Sam and I are kind of do or die. And, you know, it's neither of us are doing the day job thing anymore. And we're just working constantly to continue making, you know, great work.
Well, tell me a little bit about if you want, about funding. What was the budget, and was it the usual kind of saga of trying to get funding, and which comes first?
Well, I think originally we did the short film, and we had a sponsor. Brewery Credit Union was able to sponsor that, and that's something that we used that short film then to generate more funding for the feature. And we did that by we started a nonprofit movie studio called Film Freed, which I run currently. And that's allowed us to do significant fundraising in the nonprofit sector as well as being able to get investors in. So for this movie, we had some sponsors, Intercontinental Hotel, Wicked Hop, both sponsored us, and MKE Production Rental allowed us to use a lot of their equipment. And so it wouldn't have been possible without them. But in terms of the actual dollar number, I guess we've decided not to discuss it. But it's a low budget, definitely a low budget film.
Okay. Something that it's always fun to watch local movies because seeing Milwaukee as a set, basically. But I did notice there was no mention in the film that it is Milwaukee. Is that intentional, that you just wanted this to be everywhere urban America?
No, I'm not ashamed. It's I think that, you know, I certainly wanted it to be Milwaukee. And I wasn't trying to hide that at all. So, no, it wasn't intentional that nobody says the word Milwaukee. I guess it just, there was no occasion for someone to say the word.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there's a temptation to do that, right? If your funders are local and the actors are local and everything that about your life is in Milwaukee, to then make it not a mentionable central role in the movie. Yeah.
Well, maybe I naively thought that the skyline was just, you know, nationwide recognizable.
Yeah. I mean, I think that hopefully the audience would be curious enough to maybe question that and look into it on their own, maybe.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean,
most movies don't mention it.
Right. But yeah, I just, you know, Milwaukee is so undershot and underplayed. So it's like a totally different texture that films are not used to shooting. So I was exhilarated to just like, you know, this bridge is not very often featured in film, if ever. And, you know, look at, you know, the beautiful skyline here. Look at the lake. People are going to be like, oh, where is this? You know, it's going to be more interesting than had it been New York or Cali or Chicago.
Well, as, I don't know, some would say the film industry is becoming decentralized from the West Coast and a lot more films are being shot around the country.
And that is very true. But California did just pass they upped to their tax incentives. So they're trying to, you know, cling on to the control, but it might be too far gone. We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the TV and big studio stuff, you know, people are always going to be shooting that kind of thing. But honestly, the tax incentives in other cities are outrageous. And I really don't see why they've gone away here.
Well, besides that, or maybe you want to talk about that a little more, but what were some obstacles or some benefits of filming in Milwaukee?
Benefit-wise, it's tremendously easy to work with people here. Everyone's always excited. What I always say about Milwaukee is that our greatest untapped resource for movies is magic. And so that's something that hasn't been tapped here. I mean, that's something that's been tapped in L.A. You know, you tell someone you're a filmmaker in L.A., they just nod their head and glaze over. But here in Milwaukee, people still get excited. Still people really get jazzed and get this extra sense of excitement that you don't see out in L.A.,
Yeah, and that enthusiasm actually carries through onto the screen, absolutely, because people put in extra effort. But yeah, I mean, there's just beautiful, beautiful crews here, people that are just so passionate about their craft, you know, whereas other places they might do it all the time and, you know, it's just another job. But these people that we were working with, like every single crew member was, you know, so committed to getting everything right. And we had a short schedule, but people were just, we were spoiled. They're beautiful.
And how long did it take, would you say, from inception to your first screening?
Like a year and some change.
Inception meaning writing or
yep,
pre-production?
Writing.
Well, a little longer than.
Yeah, that would be about 3 years.
Three years, yeah.
I wrote the script and I didn't exactly know what to do because I knew I couldn't do it at the same level of like the budgetless, you know, films I'd done before. And I was trying to, you know, make something bigger. And then, you know, I started talking to Sam about it and we kind of thought like, you know, maybe jumping into this feature is going to be a little difficult. So maybe we should do a short.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why I just went off one afternoon and I wrote the short film Prone. And we did that and, you know, made some good connections there. And then, we sort of rode the coattails of that into somehow putting together the feature.
Obviously, you're going to want to do the film festival circuit. Is that right? I mean, you're approaching other festivals and that's always an ongoing process.
Yeah, that process is ongoing. We're still kind of, you know, we really wanted to premiere it in Milwaukee because everybody worked on it here. It was shot here. We wanted people to see it here first. But we're still kind of targeting where else we're going to show it. So, yeah, we'll keep that. You know, if you go to our Facebook page, we'll keep all the information coming out there. But, yeah, our next screening is actually... It's
Wednesday, the 1st at 4 p.m. at Oriental. It's the only show that's not sold out, so it's really the only chance that anybody who's interested to kind of come out and see it.
Okay.
Well. Yeah, and then aside from that, I think there's rush tickets at the door at 7 p.m. Friday at the Times. But, yeah, if you want advance tickets and you want to know, they can get in the Oriental at 4 on Wednesday the 1st.
So your film is essentially a sellout. I mean, it's going to be sold out. Not that you're sellouts, but the film is sold out.
Working on being a sellout.
All right.
Well, the first and last screenings are.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so then what is the end goal here? I mean, do you want to stay in Milwaukee and make film, or do you want to go bigger and better, if you will?
For me, I like staying here in Milwaukee. I mean, I know he likes the L.A. scene, but as far as what I do with Film Freed, is that the idea is to try to be those tax incentives by being a nonprofit and be able to try to attract outside business from L.A. to come to Milwaukee and film here. And until I feel like I've tried everything here in Milwaukee, I'm going to do my best to help build the movie and film scene here with my company.
Yeah, I adore shooting in Milwaukee, and I want to continue to. I'm just sort of doing my jail time in L.A. right now. You know, trying to make all the connections so that I can get out of there and do my work and have the people that I'm going to work with and, you know, have the proper network so that I, don't have to live there anymore. It's certainly not my favorite place in the world. But, you know, the problem is, we're still trying to grow things here in Milwaukee. And I, of course, want to continue to shoot here, but part of the growth is going to come from convincing people on the other coast that this is a magical place to shoot. And so hopefully, you know, we can convince more and more productions to come here, start to generate more money in the film scene here, and hopefully get those tax incentives reinstated.
Well, Sam and Chris, thank you for coming in. Congratulations on finishing this film. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Chris Emmons is the director and screenwriter of Serial Daters Anonymous. Sam Kozel is the film's executive producer. The movie screens as part of the Cream City Cinema Spotlight at this year's Milwaukee Film Festival. There are two more screenings of the film, and there's more information about when and where at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Coming up next, a Marine comes back from Iraq and isn't quite ready to go home. The people she meets who help her on her way make up the story of the play Welcome Home, Jenny Sutter. It's on stage now at Next Act Theater, and we'll talk with the show's director when Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio.